Session number 8730, reel 3.
Something which you just didn't understand. There was, the place was dark. There was no shouting, no nothing. The men were undoubtedly dead. And yet I was still alive, unable to find my way to the ladder which led out of the boiler room. I managed to get up to the top of the air intake flat, where, like a small lift, you had to be locked in there so that the pressures could be controlled, the air pressures could be controlled in the boiler room. I managed to get into this air flat, and from there, by looking immediately upwards at quite a distance of some 50 odd feet, I could just about see daylight, which is the air intake on the top deck. A ladder led all the way up to this air intake. I managed to climb that ladder. I got out through the air intake on top deck. I got out of there only to find that now I could just about see with one eye. The other one just seemed to just didn't work somehow. I just couldn't see with it. It had undoubtedly been burnt. I had no feeling of burns in any way. Not a thing.
Were you in pain?
No pain. The thing was that I felt all alone. I watched with just one eye that I had to see with. I watched men being mown down by aircraft coming in at sea level. And I finally found myself not standing, but flat on the deck, not knowing that I'd also been hit with bullets which had undoubtedly ricocheted off the deck and hit me. As for the condition, well, as I say, I had no idea of my condition. But in time, I was now taken by some seamen to an area in the ship where I heard the instructions that I was to be taken down to the A magazine. The A magazine was quite a distance down on the ship, and I was given an injection of morphia . I've had several injections of morphia since that time, and I've known the effect of morphia in putting me out when I wanted to, when I was to have operations. But this time, the morphia just didn't do its work as it should have. I was still dazed, but I wasn't put out with morphia. So I remained with countless other members of the ship's company that had been injured in an area in the A magazine. It was some time when the first explosion of what you determine as a torpedo had hit the ship. And if I could remember accurately, there must have been 7, 8, maybe 9 explosions of the same nature. Now, by this time, I could just about hear a voice over the tannoy giving an instruction: prepare to abandon ship, and may God be with you. Why this morphia hadn't worked, I'll never know, but it actually saved my life by it not working. For from there, I managed to move and get up on my feet and leave the area to climb towards the upper decks. Now, that took a while, and by the time I got towards a deck where a porthole was to be seen, the porthole was at such an angle that it left in just daylight. There was no sign of any water, because it faced undoubtedly at an angle of some 30 odd degrees or more. A ship was now heaving over. With the aid of countless lads that were doing what I was trying to do to escape from the ship by going through a porthole, I found myself now on the outside, on the side of the ship, pulling myself down towards the water. I don't know. I didn't have a lifebelt. My ability to swim was not there. I couldn't. And yet, I hit the water by pushing myself down. And immediately I pushed that myself into the water, everything went black, or I was unconscious undoubtedly, because I couldn't remember a thing until I managed to look, as I say, my right eye was doing the work of the both eyes, really, being my left eye being burnt and I couldn't see with that. My right eye, I could see not the ship that I'd just left, but the ship now at a distance of about half a mile. The time I'd been in the water, I had no idea. I was hanging on to some timber, and I remained there. Whether somebody had lifted me onto that timber or not, I don't know. But I was there. It was now undoubtedly sometime in the afternoon, as I say, I had no idea of time. But sometime later, a lifeboat of some nature came across, and the lads just heaved me into this lifeboat, and I was taken to an escorting destroyer, the only destroyer we had with us. I believe it answered to the name of HMS Express. I was pulled up by rope to the quarterdeck. It seemed that my clothing had been burnt off completely. I was nude. On looking down, I could just see the tops of my shoes. The soles had been burnt off, and I think that was about the only thing that had remained. Otherwise, I was completely naked, severely burnt, and I'd been wounded in the leg.
Five bullets.
By five bullets, according to the doctor. It was here that I was given another injection of morphia. And immediately it put me out, until the moment of arrival at Singapore General Hospital. And here I was in a very bad condition. I believe I was unconscious for three odd days. The reason for the being unconscious was that I had had double pneumonia. I had degrees of burns which were, I don't know, they used to number them off. I'd lost all my fingernails. I'd lost all my toenails. I had my ears burnt off. My back had been burnt. My legs, my feet had been severely burnt. I still don't know why I should have survived, really, but I did. But still, Singapore General Hospital, the service, the nursing they gave us, couldn't have been better, not for even for the royal family. They gave us everything they could. They were wonderful. there was complications with my injuries due to the oil that had leaked out of the ship while it sank. The oil also got deep into my injuries, causing septic poisoning. And this had such an effect that the injuries couldn't be dealt with in this normal way of cleaning. The injuries just had to be left for a period of time. And whether nature or whether it could have been done by the surgeons, but I found that my hands and my legs and my neck were being eaten away by maggots. The most horrible feeling a person could ever have. They gnawed away there until all the dead meat that had been burnt in my hands, my neck, my legs were eaten by these creatures. And it took days and weeks in Singapore for these to do their job of cleaning my hands. And then finally, the doctors taking over and taking and cleaning these maggots away so that they could finally introduce some skin grafting to cover these injuries. They did what I call a remarkable job. And under the constant bombing of Singapore during January of 1942, I underwent countless operations for poisoning, septic poisoning, the removal of this poisoning from my body, for skin grafting, until finally I was again feeling stronger to respond to the treatments they were giving me, because for the first few weeks I just let nature take its own course. Whatever was to be, would be. So February was coming in to Singapore, so were the Japanese. The padre, wonderful character, seemed to give all the aid that he could, but his aid was only limited to the promises. He couldn't promise everyone, but he used to tell me that within a short time we're going to get you away from Singapore. It was finally on the Friday, I think it could have been the 8th of February, that an officer of the army, a major, entered the ward with a young soldier standing near him. And as he walked through the ward, he dropped a revolver on the bedside of each bed. And his words were sharp and to the point. Keep the last bullet for yourself. Now I knew that the Japs were undoubtedly on their way into the city of Singapore. But I still couldn't understand why I should have had to kill myself rather than to have been taken by the Japanese. Today, I see the reason for the officer saying such words. But then I just didn't understand. Anyway, it must have been about midday when the padre again arrived, cheerful, with good news. You're to leave Singapore immediately. I was put from the bed onto a stretcher, given a few gifts by the matron. One was a bottle of Mackeson's. A kimono off one of the nurses, a Chinese calendar off another nurse. Those are the things that I left Singapore with. To be taken down to the harbour and put aboard a tugboat. I believe the skipper, a Chinaman, accounted for 49 of us patients that had been taken from the hospital. And we were laid out on our stretchers on the deck of this tugboat. Immediately we were aboard this tugboat, we watched aircraft coming in V formations. That was their only method of bombing, was that when the first plane dropped its bomb, the formation also dropped theirs, and the area of devastation was very, very heavy in one location of the town, and they covered areas every day in that method. This time they covered an area of the harbour, but we moved out and headed out to sea. I don't think the tugboat had been out further than a few miles out to sea before, but this time it headed for Sumatra. The food that we had aboard this boat consisted of a cupful of corned beef boiled in water, a cupful to be given to each member of us that had survived. I think it takes about 24 hours to reach Sumatra by normal route with a troop ship from Singapore. It took us 14 days. Fourteen days where each day we were given this one cup, and in 14 days from 49 we were down to 13. We reached Sumatra only to be told before we entered the harbour that the Japanese had already landed and we should do our best to get out. We got out, and with the luck that I had